Hey, Maria, pass me those marshmallows.
Here you go.
Thanks. I'm so glad you invited me to go camping today.
Yeah, it's too bad our radioactive friends weren't able to make it.
Why?
They've been super busy making rad stories and taking action in the youth media program at KUOW.
Must be stressful. Hey, I'm gonna go get some more firewood. Wait here.
Be careful out there. I wouldn't want to leave the camp by myself.
Radioactive, you're going live in 3, 2, 1.
You are now listening to Radioactive Youth Media's podcast.
These marshmallows are good, but I'm kind of bored just sitting here around the campfire.
Yeah, me too. So what do you want to do then?
Do you have any good stories?
Oh my gosh, yes! I have a bunch of scary stories from the Philippines, want to hear? My family is very superstitious, you know.
Okay, tell me some of them. But I bet you can't scare me.
Okay. So there's this one story about the Aswang. They're creatures that have many different forms. They're human in the morning and a blood-sucking monster or a huge black animal at night. They're usually portrayed as women who can literally split themselves in half and they grow bat-like wings. So they leave their lower half in an isolated area, while their upper body flies off to hunt for wandering victims. So, if you hear flapping of large wings followed by something like a ticking sound, you know that an Aswang is following you. But don't be fooled. Because if the flapping sound sounds like it's really close, then that means it's actually really far. But if it sounds like it's really far, then you better start worrying because it's somewhere nearby.
Oh, really? How do you know they exist?
They do! My grandma saw one back in her hometown in the Philippines. She was only 9 years old when two of her friends invited her to their house. They picked her up and walked her there around 9 o'clock that night.
And then when we finally got there, that's when a lot of things started appearing. Like, there was a crowd of people that we couldn't see. It was as if there was thumping, someone cutting coconuts, and we sensed something entering underneath the house. We heard whispering, someone walking, bumping around. It sounded like noises someone makes when they're trying to cook.
The noises continued on until the next day. So, their family decided to move the house, because in the Philippines, their houses are so small they can be easily lifted up. Anyways, the following night, it happened again. It was as if whatever was making those noises was following them.
We thought it was over, but we were safe. So that night, my friends picked me up again to sleep over. There are only 5 of us. This time, I was with my 3 brothers, but we were all kids. The oldest one was my friend, who was only 12 years old. That night, we tried to be really loud, pretending there was a lot of us, because this time, there was something scratching on our roof. It sounded as if it wanted to come inside. We were really scared that it might see us. We heard what sounds like the aswang, sounds that we couldn't understand. It sounded like large flapping wings. After a while, something came through the roof. It dropped on the floor. We thought it was a ball, so some of us even tried to catch it. It was wrapped with something that looked like long black hair, and then it just rolled towards us. The hair unwrapped itself, and that's when we realized it was a head. Only a head, but it was alive. It opened its eyes to look at us, and we saw the face. It looked pretty, but its eyes were completely red.
So they all screamed, and their dad came running in. The head continued to roll out of the door, so he didn't really get to see it that much. He even tried to run after it, but it just vanished. After that, he had them all sleep in their house instead because he was just as scared as they were.
We couldn't sleep that night, but eventually we managed to sleep. My dad couldn't sleep, though. He truly believed that what we saw was an aswang. Suddenly, a really huge dog appeared in our house. We didn't know where it entered the house. Everything was locked, but it is believed that an aswang can enter anything, no matter how small a hole is. It was really huge and black, and it was lying on my stomach, right in front of my face. It also had red eyes. It was glaring. It was showing its teeth like it was prepared to bite.
So that's an aswang.
Yeah. It's hard to tell them apart from normal people if they're in their human form. But my grandmother told me that you can still identify them. You know that person is an aswang if you look at them straight in the eyes and you'd see that your reflection is upside down. Also, you have to speak first before they could have the chance to speak before you. Because if they did, then no matter how hard you cry, no matter how hard you scream for help, the creature will drag you off and nobody, as in nobody, around will be able to hear you. And that's why people in the Philippines don't dare go out camping in the forest.
Like this forest?
Like this forest. Especially if it has large trees, because they use them to hide themselves.
That sounds like an urban legend I know. My mom actually told it to me when I was young. It's called La Llorona, which basically means the weeping woman. The story I heard was about a beautiful yet poor woman. She was so beautiful that she wouldn't marry any of the men in her village, because none of them were good enough for her. Then, one day, a rich man comes to town who is extremely handsome and can sing and dance and play guitar. The woman is set on marrying him, so she plays hard to get. She would always turn away when the man looked at her. When the man came to her house to serenade her, she wouldn't go to the door. Finally, when she knew he wanted her, they got engaged and married. Later in their lives, she had two children. As time went on, the man grew tired of the proud woman. Eventually, he even spoke about marrying another woman of his own high class. One day, the woman saw her husband riding in a carriage with a young and beautiful girl. Her husband stopped and spoke to the children, but not to his wife. She was so furious at her husband that she wanted revenge. Suddenly, all the rage that she had within her turned on the children. She dragged the children and threw them into a river out of envy. As they disappeared down the river, she realized how grave her mistake was and frantically ran after them. She raced down the bank of the river, reaching her arms out to the children. But it was too late. They were gone. Later, a traveler said he found a beautiful woman on the bank of the river. Ever since that happened, people say if you listen near the river hard enough, you can hear a woman weeping for her children, calling after them, still searching and searching for them. It is said that if children are out at night and are found by her, they are never seen again. It's a good thing I don't have to worry about her. I just turned 17.
Oh, happy birthday. But that's nothing compared to the black lady.
You mean the white lady?
Nope, the black lady. That's an old lady dressed all in black. White ladies don't do anything. They may look scary, but they're just ghosts. But black ladies? Oh, man. Anyways, they wear those, you know, those long black veils that old woman usually wears in funerals. Have you seen the movie Lady in Black?
No, I don't really watch horror movies.
Well, that's the closest comparison I can come up with. I heard a story somewhere about a kid, same age as us. He was alone in a classroom one morning. When he looked behind him, there was a black, headless figure standing by the doorway. And then when he turned back around, there was a head of a woman staring back at him, on his desk. They say that if you happen to make eye contact with a black lady, she will follow you for as long as you continue living. And when you finally die a tragic death, she will drag your soul to hell.
Angela, what are you doing here?
I'm here to tell my anecdote.
But it's gonna be spooky today.
Okay, so my sister went off to Canada and she's a hair student and she has those mannequin head things, right? And there was one day where I was walking past it and it scared me, so I screamed and I ran outside. So she knew that, oh, I gotta set this up somewhere to scare her again. When I opened my closet, it was tied up, so the head was right in front of my face. And I screamed, and you know what? I wish she would have given me a heads up.
But she didn't. That's my anecdote for you.
Get out of here, Angela.
Okay, fine.
Can't you see we're telling a scarier story? It's only gonna scare the anecdote out of you.
Fine then.
Anyways, I'm getting really tired of talking. How about you? Do you have any weird, like, supernatural experiences?
Yeah, I do. It was at the summer camp. And it's just like a normal summer camp, you know, like you stay in cabins with like other guys and you sleep in bunks and stuff. So one night, like at late at night, when there were no counselors in the cabin at the time, one guy started sleepwalking. His name's David. He walked back to his bed and he started sleep talking in his bed. And he told us to be quiet and we were really like freaking out because like it was just such a weird experience. And then like later he like ran up to the bathroom. And he came back and he said his heart was pounding. So we got help and it was okay. He went to the nurse. And the next night, he was kind of looking weird too. So we were just talking to him, just relaxing. And then David said, I don't want to go home. And we're like, well, none of us want to go home. I mean, we're having fun. It's at camp. And then he's like, no, like, I don't know. Something weird happened to me last week. And we're like, what do you mean? So he says, I saw a ghost. And ever since then, I don't feel fear. And we're like, what are you talking about? So he told us, like, when he came back at his house one night, when he was in his bed, he saw this old lady. She was like 40 years old. She had blonde bangs and a blonde ponytail. And she had capri pants and a nice shirt. And she was tucking him in. And then ever since then, he didn't feel scared of the dark, or he wasn't scared of being on stage. So we reassured him and said, like, well, if it's a spirit, it's probably like a good spirit, because, I mean, now you can't feel like bad things, and now you're, she didn't try to hurt you. But then my friend pulls me aside, and he notices his eyes are kind of weird. And I looked at it a little closer, and I noticed it too. Like, when David, he normally talks to you, he kind of, like, looks you in the eye, and he's a very energetic guy, but this David, like, he was kind of absent-minded, and he wasn't looking at you in the eye, he was kind of looking to the side, and his eyes were sort of open, but not completely. And then, that's about the time where David, he walks up and goes to the bathroom, and he starts whistling. Like, he starts just whistling, like, random notes, and the lights flicker. And the drain, like, normally, the drain, it'll, if you turn it on, it kind of, like, makes this, like, screaming sound. But, like, nobody touched it and started screaming, so that's when he comes out and he says, and he, like, thinks for a little bit, and he's like, wait, I want to try that again. And then we all start, like, freaking out, and we don't show it, but we go get help and tell them what's happening, and they come. And the counselors come, and one of them was superstitious, so he prays over it, and he says it's all safe, and David goes with the counselors to go to the nurse. Then later, we're all gathered and talking by ourselves in the cabin, because we're still spooked from it. And one of my friends, Kyle, who was there, he tells us that, like, he has a gift. Like, he can see supernatural things, because he's kind of psychic. And we talked to him and said, so yeah, what did you see? What happened? And he says earlier in the night, he saw the woman, but it, like, immediately as he saw it, it was so terrifying that he closed his eyes and he couldn't open it because it felt like there was a weight on his eyes or something. And we're like, okay, so what did you see her as? Like, he said, like, it was this old, tattered woman who had this blanket and looked helpless and was screaming out of agony for help. And that's, like, the moment where he started really sobbing because it was such an emotional thing. And it was just so weird that, like, this happened and one of our friends, David, thought it was a safe thing and we thought it was too, but in actuality it was something completely different. And ever since then, like, I don't know, it's kind of hard to, like, fully feel alone. Like, you never know who's there watching you out in the dark. Well, it started raining. Let's go to bed.
Hey, Ernesto. Still awake? There's another belief in my country that if you happen to see your shadow or reflection without a head, you're going to die soon.
Okay, Maria. Just go to sleep.
But you can prevent it if you burn everything you were wearing when you saw your shadow. Otherwise...
Good night, Maria.
Night. Don't let the bed bugs bite.
I know. Maria, shut up. I can't sleep.
It's not me.
This podcast couldn't have been created without the help of Jenny Asarno and Lila Katayev.
Alam Ibrahim and Megan O'Kelly.
Angela Nguyen for that creepy yet teeth-chattering anecdote of the day. Issa Talija, Noah Phillips-Reardon, and Nia Price-Nascimento.
We are your hosts for today, Maria Kawagden.
And Ernesto Morfin. Visit kuow.org/radioactive to hear more.
And check out their Facebook, Radioactive Youth Media, or Twitter at KUOW Radioactive.
Have a frightening Friday.